the road network system is getting more and more complex as they're building more roads. And if you go to these bigger cities, gets just even harder to navigate through without the GPS. One of the very interesting things about the GPS is if you miss your exit, it's going to make sure you go and make sure you, it's going to get you back to exit. And several times a lady with very Irish accent is going to speak to you, recalculating, something like that. Or she's going to say, in about 100 yards, make a U-turn. Or take the left exit, something like that. But the catch word there is make a U-turn. When you make a U-turn, you don't make it three-quarter way, it's all the way through. The readings today has something to do with making a U-turn. It's about changing one's mind. Jesus speaks to us in the gospel and tells us of these two sons and their father. The first is quite blunt. He tells his father his mind. He says, Daddy, I'm not going anywhere. Just like that. But later changes his mind and does it anyway. The second is more of a yes person. Yes, yes, yes. Said yes to this, said yes to the other. And in the end, he doesn't do anything about that yes. So Jesus asks the chief priests and the elders of the people, and he asks us, which of the two sons did their father's will? Which one of them? Obviously, as they replied, the first did the father's will. Now, Jesus goes ahead, having established that very good background, now he goes ahead to teach them. And Jesus says to them, you people, you chief priests and elders of the people, you are like the second son. You say you believe in the Messiah. You say you expect him. You say you follow the rules. You say you believe in the Torah. You say you believe in the Ten Commandments, but you don't do a thing about it. All you say is yes, 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 yes. You don't change your mind like the first son. Well, in the end, Jesus does not condemn them. Jesus does not say that they are bad people. Rather, what Jesus says is they will not be the first to make it to heaven. They'll not be the first to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, it's right there that the first reading comes into perspective. The first reading given to us by the prophet Ezekiel, and is preaching to these people and telling them of this whole idea of changing one's mind. There are two people there. Again, the virtuous person and the sinful person. The virtuous person has been good all day long from the beginning of time, and then towards the end screws up one thing and is punished for it, or even he can die because of that. And then the sinful person who has been doing bad stuff all their life makes a U-turn and he or she lives. Doesn't that seem to be unfair? Doesn't it seem unfair? Well, that takes us back to last week's gospel reading. Jesus was speaking to us about this very generous landowner who went out into the field and hired several people to work in the vineyard. One in the morning, one at noon, and then the other about 3 p.m. At the end of the day, he pays them the same amount, pays them the same salary. Doesn't that seem unfair? Well, if we go back to this first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, A lot of people, even our minds, will question, why would God do that? You've been living a good life. You've been following the rules. You've been following all that the Catholic Church teaches, all these things they're asking us to do. And then in the end, you screw up just one thing and you miss heaven? Doesn't that seem unfair? Well, the prophet Ezekiel was speaking to the people of the old times. It was, as we call it, it's the Old Testament. And means there was something lacking. Now, what is that which was lacking? The thing that is lacking is Jesus the Christ, because the New Testament had not come. Jesus had not come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And so what happened when Jesus came? When he came, he brought us a gift. He brought us a tree, a piece of wood. With this piece of wood, there came an abundance of love and mercy and forgiveness. In the context of the readings, we will say when Jesus came to fulfill what the prophet Ezekiel was talking about and to add on to what was missing, he brought what we could call today second chances. Third chance, fourth and fifth and more. In the past, if you just screwed up just one thing, then you would even die for that sin. Now with the coming of Jesus, we have a second chance, a third chance, and many more. Yes. If you screw up things 10 times, that's okay. So long as you don't lose focus in Christ, so long as we don't despair, so long as we hang on with faith in Christ, we will always be ready, and the Spirit will move us to make that U-turn, to make the change of mind like the first son. Well, I could end here for the homily. That is all about our readings. But it's always better to put it, you know, make it a little more relevant. I would like to conclude with what St. Paul tells us in the second reading. St. Paul concludes and says, because Jesus brought love and compassion, because Jesus brought us a second chance, we have every reason to praise his name, to acclaim him, because with that, his name is above every other name, the name by which every knee, every person must bend. He brought us what was lacking. And this is one reason why Jesus died for us. A lot of you that I've known, I've told you that I have quite a bunch of Sunday school kids in my parish of assignment in Uganda. And one Sunday I was going to meet the kids and share with them the homily, just a short reflection for them. And one of the kids asked me, Father, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus have to die that way? That is a very complex question. So I told the kid and the others, I do not know, but I can give you something that might help you understand. Because it's a big question, it might take you the whole of your life as you're growing up to understand why Jesus died. But in simplicity, Jesus Christ died to save us. He died to bring us a second chance so that we can make it to heaven. So that if we screw up one thing, we have another chance. But in addition to that, if you wonder, why did he have to die this way? This very painful death. Because of two things. One, it was God's will. It was his Father's will. And two, because he chose to follow his Father's will. And he has brought us salvation. And if you ever wonder why Jesus has taken such a long time without coming for a second time, probably it's because he's waiting for us to change our minds. He's giving us as many chances as possible so that we make it to heaven. And this is why we're created, so that we get a chance to sit around our God, the end of times, to praise Him, to be with Him forever. And St. Paul is right about that. So that is the reason why every knee must bend, everyone must praise the name of Jesus, adore Him in majesty. Lastly, let me conclude. St. Paul gives us a very concise, statement that we really need to keep up with in the context of today's readings. And I'd like to read it off from my small lectionary here. This is what St. Paul says. Brothers and sisters, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. But you'll ask me, what does it mean to be of the same mind? What does it mean to think one thing? You're living under one roof. People with different likes and preferences. People with different opinions. Sometimes we have very rough exchanges amongst ourselves. Is it even possible to be of the same mind in the same house? Is it possible to think one thing when we're all the time fighting each other? Is it even possible to love the other? To love your spouse who's always nagging you? Is it even possible? United in heart. When Jesus came, He broke the law of math. He said that when two people, male and female, agree that they are going to marry each other, love each other, they are no longer two, they become one. So that is the meaning of united in heart. You become one. But is it possible? Yes. The devil has tried to fight us, and the devil has really studied the human situation, and he's found out that the only way to destroy we humans is to get to the family. If he can destroy the husband, if he can destroy the wife, then he knows he's got the head of the family. And if he's got the head of the family, he's got everyone else. How can we be of the same heart? Well, St. Paul is not telling us that it's impossible. It is possible only with the help of God. And that's why we gathered here today. We are gathered here that God graces us. God gives us all that we need, all the graces, all the extra help that we need from heaven, such that we can be of the same mind, of the same heart. And if we do so, we will always find it so easy to make a U-turn, to have a change of mind, to have a change of heart. Let us pray for all families today, and let us pray for ourselves that the Lord keeps us safe from the attack of the evil one, that the Lord keeps us focused, that the Lord keeps us faithful and strengthens us in faith. And this Lord we are praying to is the president of this assembly. In about a few minutes, He's going to be feeding us with His body and blood. We are here for only two things as we come from us. We come, we gather around, we praise God with our lips and with our entire bodies if we can. And then, in return, God feeds us and blesses us and makes us ready for the following week. The Lord be with you.